You are listening to the Passion City Church podcast. To learn more about Passion City Church, including our gathering times in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com. Today's talk comes from Pastor Louis Giglio.
Last week and this week, we are looking at the model prayer of Jesus. A prayer that most people know. If I started it, you could almost finish it. You know, we go out strong, then we all kind of start, you know, waiting for that next little phrase or word. But almost everyone in our gathering today knows our Father. You say the next line. I mean, everyone knows this prayer. If someone dies in a movie, you're going to hear either the 23rd Psalm or the Lord's Prayer. Everybody knows this is something. But what Jesus is trying to do for you and me today is he's trying to release us from living in the stress sandwich. You're like, well, what is the stress sandwich? What is that? Well, the stress sandwich is when you put a little slice of today in between the two larger slices of the regret of yesterday and the worry about tomorrow. So you get two pieces of bread, which are represented by all the regret of the things that didn't go right yesterday or that I wish were different about yesterday. That's one slice. The other slice is all the worry I have about what's going to happen in all these different scenarios tomorrow. You take those two pieces together, and in between you put today, and that's called a stress sandwich. And that's what most of us are eating for lunch every day. We're chewing on the regrets of yesterday. We're mulling over all the what-ifs of tomorrow. And in the process of that, we're completely losing the day. And so Jesus says, when you pray, here's a great way to pray. Not necessarily pray this prayer over and over and over, but here's a great roadmap for when you pray. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. So great opener. I'm not just a person floating around on earth. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God by faith in Christ. I have a Father who has a name, and that name is echoing through eternity. And so what do I want to pray to this Father whose name echoes in eternity? Some big grand theological treatise, right? Some 30-minute long exercise of spirituality. No, he says, pray a real simple prayer like this. Give us today. Give us today. We know we can't go back to yesterday. That's gone. Now we know that you can still work on things that happened yesterday, but we can't go back and redo that one. We know that we don't even have tomorrow. That's like, yes, it's on the calendar, and yes, it's in my iCal, but it's not actually a thing yet. And so what do I have? I have right now. And so to my Father, whose name echoes in eternity, this is my prayer. Give us today. Give us this moment. Let us win today. Let our marriage win today. In this fight I'm in up against anxiety or depression, give me your peace today. In these circumstances that are raging in our world, give us what we need today. Or literally, we need your provision of finance or of food or of shelter. And God, we're counting on that today. And this is how we live free. A lot of you may not have been here last week. I know that every week you miss, you go back and watch the talk online right away when it gets posted on Wednesday. But because it was the Thanksgiving week, you may have not had a chance to watch last week's talk yet if you missed it. Okay, I thought it was funny, but maybe not. Maybe too personal. And so I wanted to reach back because there was some really important things setting up this idea. And all this started for me by speaking at the Grove, kicking off the fall, coming out of Sabbath, and Shelley and the team asked me to come and speak to the Grove, and the Lord put in my heart to speak out of Proverbs 31. I don't recommend that as a guy because it's about the Proverbs 31 woman, and she's amazing. And one of the things about her that was amazing that we talked about last week, it says about her that she's clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs with no fear of the future. And when I'm reading that in Proverbs 31, and I do believe in the Proverbs 31 woman, I mentioned last week, I'm married to one, so I know this is a real thing. Thank you. Clapping for my wife. That's awesome. I like you guys. I'm going to focus on you for the rest of this talk. Maybe not so much these guys right here, but you. I'm loving it. And the, even Proverbs 31 says about this woman that the man married to this woman is a blessed man. So not just me, but anybody, other guys, got that Proverbs 31 woman thing going at your house? I'm just giving you a chance, guys. This is a good moment to affirm and show your support and love. It's like I was traveling out of the country last week to speak, and I arrived in Mexico City among friends, a lot of friends from over the years, and the first question, and really the only important question the whole trip was, not has God given you a word for our conference, or we're so glad you've come to minister to us, or man, we're so excited that you're gonna be speaking at this giant event that we're hosting. It was just first question, and really the only question that mattered, is Shelly here? Is Shelly come? Please say she came. And man, this is my life. This is my entire life. So I'm like, no, she didn't make it this time, but she sends her love. And everybody, you can just see the disappointment just coming down over people's faces. They're like, oh, that's great. Well, we're so glad you're here. That's what happens when you're married to amazing. People are hoping that they get the amazing part. And this Proverbs 31 woman is amazing. And I know she's real, but I looked at that line, I kept reading that verse, and I'm like, is that just church talk, or is that even a possibility? To laugh with no fear of the future. This woman goes to bed confident, late at night, because she burns the late night oil, but she goes to bed confident, wakes up and goes, I'm not worried about today. I'm not worried about this situation. I'm not worried about what's coming down the road. I'm not looking down the timeline and stressing out about my life. And I was just thinking, is that a possibility? Or is that like something we say at church and everybody goes, oh, isn't that nice? And then we go back to our real world, to our real lives, where we stress over everything. We're not only not laughing at the future, we're already panicking about the future. And I'm telling you, over the 22 cities that I've been out with Passion this year, we've been talking about faith over fear every single night. We've been really upfront with reality with people that are drowning in depression and drowning in anxiety and drowning in stress and panic and worry. And what you realize when you just take a snapshot of our generation, that we've just basically given anxiety a seat at our table. We have written anxiety into the story of 2018 America, and even 2018 the church. Our middle schoolers are drowning. Our high school age kids are drowning. College students are in depression. Their parents are depressed. We are highly medicated generation of people. And it's as if somewhere along the way, we just threw our hands up and said, yeah, we'll just give anxiety a seat at the table. That's just the way it's going to be. But yet we came in here today and we're worshiping a God who we claim has power and authority, who is alive and who can save and restore and redeem, a God who's sitting on a great throne of thrones. And we say, our God, he has a powerful name. What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. Anywhere around the world right now. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. And then we get to the end and people, you can feel it. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. the name of Jesus Christ, my King. And then we go back to real world. And we ask, is it more powerful than what's keeping you up at night? Is that name more powerful than what's making you anxious? Is that name more powerful than the darkness that's closing in? And Jesus, I believe, is coming to us today. I believe he's speaking to this generation. I believe he's speaking into his people and speaking into his church. We talked about this last week at the Five if you were here, but a lot of you weren't. I believe God is speaking now into this generation, and he's saying to his children, to his sons and his daughters, as a father in heaven who has a great name that echoes to eternity, I believe God is saying, enough is enough. Enough is enough. It is time for people to be freed from this power, this grip of anxiety and stress and pressure and panic that we've just allowed basically to have a permanent place at our table. And Jesus is saying, the way towards freedom is by seizing this day and living with Christ in today. Not looking back, trying to unwind everything about the past, and not looking forward, all panicked about what might happen in the future, but just resting in the one day we do have and believing that Christ is going to be enough in this day. She laughs with no fear of the future. He laughs with no fear of the future. A teenager who wakes up and says, I'm not afraid of what's coming down the road. How does that happen? And Jesus said, it's a good start right here in this prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today. Can we just say those three words together? Give us today. This is our prayer. This is when we're coming to our Father. This is what we're praying. God, give me today. Not worried about tomorrow yet. Can't go back to yesterday. Give us today our daily bread, not our weekly loaf or our monthly ration or our yearly portion. We're trusting you for the manna that we know is going to be on the ground for today. And in the same spirit of today, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtor. So we want to be right with you, God, as we're seeking to be right with other people today. Not going back to try to redo yesterday or looking to what might be tomorrow, but today we want to live in a right relationship with you. And as far as possible, we want to live in a right relationship with the people around us today. And then today, Lord, don't lead us into temptation today, thinking about the next 20 minutes, the next 30 minutes, the next moment, Lord. I mean, this is what we see all in the recovery culture around us. You gotta take it one day at a time. And we understand you gotta break that day down like to 1 hour at a time, and every 10 minutes at a time, and maybe every moment at a time, just leaning in and trusting God for today. Lead us not into temptation, but today deliver us from the evil one. And last week we talked about daily bread, the manna of God, the quail in the evening and the manna in the morning, Exodus. And now we want to look at this second component, which is daily grace. So if you want to get the daily bread, I encourage you to go back and check in with last week's talk. But today we're looking at this next line, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. What does it look like for you and me to live in daily grace? We know there's daily bread. That's the provision of God day by day. But what about the daily grace of God? Is there a way that we can live free from stress by understanding daily grace, living in a rhythm of daily grace. And I believe there is, and I'm going to use an acronym today because I haven't done that in about 10 years, and I really think preaching needs it every now and then. So the word we're going to be leaning towards is trust, to trust God to give us today. And so with that, we're going to start with the T. And the first thing that's got to be true in my life, if I'm going to trust God with today, is that I have to turn down the covers at night of His grace. I've got to turn down the covers at night of the grace of God. So imagine you're getting in bed. Hopefully you made your bed. Please tell me you made your bed. Everybody made your bed, or did the Proverbs 31 woman make your bed for you? She did. Okay, great. Amazing. So we're turning down the covers now to get into bed. That feels better than just getting into a bed with all the covers down, does it not? Yes, you never regret making the bed when you're getting in the bed. And so you're turning down the covers. You're pulling back the comforter or the quilt or the bedspread or the sheet or whatever. You're turning all this down at night. God wants you to have a mentality of understanding that you're turning down the grace of God, and then you are lying down. Is it lying down or laying down? Can somebody help me with that? It's laying down. You're 100% sure? Like the $1 million thing's going right now and you have 30 seconds and if I push this button, you're gonna go down a tube and out into the Chattahoochee River. You got one answer, are you ready? You went to Dawson County High School? Okay. Well, we're just glad you're here and dressed and, you know, have had a shower. It's amazing. You're doing great, you are overachieving. I'm just kidding, I don't even know anything about Dawson County High School, but it sounds like an awesome place. And is there an English major in the house? No? No English majors? Okay, we got a real strong, an English major? You're a teacher? English teacher? And you're gonna go with? Lying. Dawson County High School, English teacher. Let's take a vote. Dawson County High School? Yeah, family and friends in for Thanksgiving. English teacher. It was close. It was close, and I'm still not confident. So when you get horizontal at night, when you get in the horizontal position on your bed, and there you are on the horizontal, in the horizontal position on your bed, what God is inviting you to do is to lie down into His forgiveness over your life. That's where daily grace begins. You're like, well, wait a minute, if it's daily grace, why am I doing something at night? Because what we discovered last week is that the Jewish mindset understood that it's evening and morning the first day, Genesis 1:5. And it was evening and morning the first day. Not it was morning and then evening the first day, it was evening and then morning the first day. So the Hebrew mindset is a mindset that goes to sleep trusting God and then wakes up to see what God has done. This is the Sabbath rhythm. So Sabbath begins at sundown on Friday. And then it continues into the day on Saturday. Why? So that we understand that life is not about what we can do. Life is about discovering what God is doing all around us and joining Him in what He is doing in the world. Life is not about getting God to join me in what I'm doing in the world. So the prayer isn't, hey, Father in heaven, great to talk to you today. Here's my agenda and here's my will that needs to be done today. No, the prayer is, my Father has a name that echoes in eternity. So then today, I'm mostly interested in your kingdom coming and your agenda unfolding, your will being done. I felt some of my stress just went down when I just prayed that. Because I don't have to start my day going, I gotta make my agenda happen today. I gotta get this thing on my timeline today. That will keep you up at night. But what if we adopted? I don't think we're gonna be able to change Western culture, so I'm not looking for that. I'm not looking for you to text your friends at 10:30 at night and say, hey, good morning, we're going to bed now. You know, I don't think we're going to be able to redo the entire mindset of Western people. But as the children of God, you're going to need to begin to understand the rhythm of life. And you're going to need to understand that in God's mind, your day starts when you go to bed at night. It was evening and morning the first day. Even in Exodus 16, talking about the quail at night and the manna in the morning, this is what it says. In the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, talking about the manna on the ground. So in the evening, you'll go, whoa, we've been delivered by the hand of God. And in the morning, you'll wake up and go, look at the glory of God. And that's the same rhythm for you and me. So we lie down in the forgiveness of God. We turn back the covers, if you will, of the grace of God. So that means as I'm starting my day at the end of the day, as I'm lying down at night, I say, God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you that I'm forgiven. There are a few things I need to confess and make right with you. Not so that I can get forgiven all over again today. I'm already forgiven. But just so that our relationship is clear, there are a few things I just need to be honest about. Not that you don't know them, but I need to say them. And then I need to just remember again today that I'm completely forgiven. I'm completely covered. I'm have total peace with you. Thank you, God, for your grace. Come on, we're at the T in trust. And the very thing that's keeping some of you up at night, which is your inability to have peace with God, is resolved. We're just at the T in trust, but somebody is gonna go to sleep beginning the new day tonight going, God, thank you for the grace that you've shown me. I lie down in that grace. I lie down in that forgiveness. I receive it. You know I've fallen short. I'm admitting that here and here, but thank you that you've already completely covered me and forgiven me. I'm turning back the covers of your grace tonight. Some of you have been getting into the bed of condemnation so long, you think that's the only bed there is. Some of you have been getting into the bed of shame so many nights, you think that's the only bed there is. And you rest your head again on the pillow of that scarlet S that's on your chest. And you wonder why when you wake up in the morning, you don't feel like you're ready for the day. And God is saying, it's not just daily bread, it's daily grace that I want you to live in. The R of trust is that even as we're lying down, we're already thinking about reflecting that grace to other people. So the prayer says, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have debts against us. But that's kingdom teaching. That's not a model for how the cross works. The cross doesn't work like I wake up today and go, well, if I can forgive Bethany, God might forgive me. So I should probably work on forgiving Bethany. No, Jesus was giving kingdom teaching in the Sermon on the Mount before the finished work of the cross. Paul gives us the finished teaching in Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. How? Just as in Christ God forgave, past tense, you. So I'm now lying down in this bed of grace thinking, who should I extend some grace to? And we want to reflect what we have received to others. We talked a few years ago in this relatable series about the shovel and the spoon, about how we love to get God's grace with the shovel. You know, like we're just digging it out. Thank you so much for forgiving me of all my sin. Thank you for loving me while I was still a sinner. Thank you for giving your life when I couldn't do a thing to help myself. I'm taking some more of that mercy that's new every morning, some more of that grace that you're pouring down on me. And we just shovel. We love that it's shoveled into our account. But then when it comes to us dispensing grace, whoo, we put the shovel away and get the teaspoon. And we go over to that big grace pile we got and we scoop a little quarter teaspoon out. I just wanted to call and let you know that I've had a change of heart and I wanted to extend some grace to you. But before I did that, I just wanted to clarify a few things. Because this is really hard for me to do this. I've prayed about it a lot. But I want you to know that I'm expecting that you're gonna understand that this is grace on my part. This is just me rising above the circumstance and above the situation and doing more than what I even should be required to do. But you know, by God's goodness, I just wanted to make sure that you knew that if you never do this again, I'd be happy to give you 1/4 teaspoon of God's grace. Be blessed. Oh, dear Lord, get the shovel. I need the shovel. Thank you, God, for your mercy. You know I didn't want to do that, but I did. And I love the fact that you have just got so much kindness and compassion on my life. Dad, I've really thought this through, and I've actually got the tablespoon. Oh, I know you don't deserve it. And you know you don't deserve it. I mean, God knows you don't deserve it. You know, we love to receive the grace with the shovel. And we're so good at dispensing it with the spoon. And I promise you, if that is the rhythm of your life, that's what your daily grace looks like, you didn't have any peace today. You get peace today by extending the grace that God's extended to you today to the people in your life. We're not talking about sweeping things under the rug. We're not talking about continually putting yourself in harmful situations. We're not talking about holding people accountable. We're talking about reflecting to others what God has so graciously given to us. And maybe when you lie down, instead of saying, "That Bethany, oh man." Maybe when you lie down, the last thing you need to say is, "Tomorrow, the first thing I'm doing is extending as much grace as possible to her." I bet you sleep better that night. How can I do that? Louis, doesn't even sound fair. You don't know what people have done to me. No, I don't. So maybe you need the you. And the you in trust is to uproot the urge to get revenge. You feel the stress sandwich getting deconstructed? I do. You feel your opportunity to actually live in the moment is improving? I do. You feel like getting the day and winning the day and savoring the day and knowing that God gave you life in the day is a greater possibility? If you uproot the urge to seek revenge, I believe your chances went up exponentially already. If you didn't spend half the night trying to get justice out of somebody, a pound for pound of whatever the flesh is that you think they owe you, man, what if you uproot that urge and offload justice to a just God? Again, it's not shirking your responsibility. If somebody needs to be held accountable, something needs to come to the light. We're not saying that. It's just you changing positions from being the judge and jury of every single thing that happens in life to letting the Almighty God, who's sitting on a great throne, let him be the judge and jury of everything that happens in life. Man, oh man, you're talking about a whole new rhythm of daily grace in your life. Of saying, "God, I'm counting on you that you're gonna make this right. I'm counting on you that you are gonna let justice prevail." So I'm asking that over my life and their life because I thought I was 100% right, amen, and they were 100% wrong. But it could be that I was 90% right and they were actually 10% right. And so I need you to help me see anything I need to see and help them see whatever they need to see and make this thing right. Let truth prevail. Man, what a great prayer to pray as you are starting your day, as you lay down at night, to say, God, let truth prevail. Let truth prevail. You know the whole story. You know everything that was said and unsaid, all the motives. You know all the intentions, God. You bring to light the truth. I can't do that tonight during this 8 hours I've got ahead of me. But you possibly could, because you're not going to sleep tonight. So I'm going to uproot the urge to get revenge, and I'm going to trust you that you're going to be my defender. David said this in Psalm 3, "Oh Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me?" This is a word for somebody today. Somebody, you're like, you're already just read my story in verse 1. "Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But," always an important turn, "you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. So to the Lord I cry aloud. He hears me from his holy hill." Why? Because my Father is in heaven and hallowed is his name. And so when I, as his son or daughter, talk to him, he hears me, and this is what I say: "Lord, let your kingdom come and your will be done." If you wanted this twisted, then let it be twisted. If you wanted injustice, let it be injustice. If you wanted wrong to look like right, then let wrong look like right. But if that is not your will, then that is yours to do. And then look what David says. "I lie down," there it is, Dawson County High School. It's me and you, man, I didn't know either. "I lie down and sleep. I awake again because the Lord sustains me." Okay, somebody's getting that tattooed, no doubt. I'm not advocating that, but somebody, I promise you, will. That will happen, there will be a story. Psalm 3:5. "I found a rhythm of daily grace. I lie down and I sleep. And I wake up because the Lord sustains me." See, I uprooted the urge to get revenge and I offloaded justice to the just one. And when I did that, something changed in me. And namely, what changed is I lie down and sleep now. And I wake up knowing that the Lord sustains me. So I will not fear, there's our word, the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. Now, if you're really up against it right now, you're gonna wanna keep on reading, because verse 7 is what you gotta love. "Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God." Are you ready for this? "Strike all my enemies on the jaw and break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people." See, most of the headwind that you're gonna face in life is gonna come out of the mouth of somebody else. And David got it, and he just said, "Lord, I'm just asking you. I'm not looking to strike anybody on the jaw, and I'm not looking to break anybody's teeth, although I was thinking about that before I got to the you in trust. But I'm not looking to break anybody's teeth. But would you break the teeth of anything that's trying to bring less than the best? Awesome. Good night. Love you." I'm gonna lie down now. The S in trust is simply to start your morning with confidence that God is working. See, how can you do that? How can you start your morning with confidence that God is working? See, normally in the Western mindset, you start your morning with your quiet time, which means you wake up, you don't feel good, you overslept, you didn't get enough sleep, blah, 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 think you're already late, stuff is already happening, kids already yelling down the hall, everybody's already in panic mode, but you're like, I gotta spend time with God. I gotta get a moment here with God before I start my day. Hello, what if you've already started your day before you even went to sleep? So when you wake up, you're just continuing your day. Less pressure on getting those 15 or 30 minutes. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. But if that's all you've got at the beginning of the day, you might be swamped already because the average believer doesn't really grab the 15 to 30 minutes with God in the morning because in the morning is not the best time to necessarily grab that time. But what if you've already grabbed that time before you went to sleep? Then you woke up and said, good morning, Lord. I'm so confident today in you. I'm so confident that you're working. I'm so confident that you are hearing my prayers. I'm so confident that while I was asleep, you were at work. I'm so confident that your will is being done and your kingdom is coming on earth as it is in heaven. I'm gonna walk in today to see what my Father has done during the night so the day doesn't begin with, oh Lord, here's what I need you to do. The day begins with, Lord, show me what you are already doing around me today, because I want to join you in what you're doing. And then the T on the end is just to take each step in the power that he supplies. To take every step in the power that he supplies. I've had, I think, four sort of like awakenings spiritually in my life. I've talked about them a lot at our church. Obviously, the first one was putting my faith in Jesus. But that's not the only big thing that ever happened to me spiritually. Somewhere around early 20s for me, college, church kid, man, it dawned on me pretty big time that I was a major failure at living the Christian life. And part of it was because I only understood half the gospel. I understood Jesus paid it all for me. And that was amazing. I believed it. But then somehow I had computed into believing that he paid it all for me, so now that I had to somehow pull it all off from here for him. And it is true to say he died for me, I want to live for him. That is true. Unless it slowly morphs into he did all the work to get me into heaven. Now I got to do all the work to get me through Monday. And what I discovered was I wasn't very good at getting through the Mondays. And so what happens when we get stuck in that trap is we either leave church or we just put up a front. We either just bail because we're like, this doesn't work for me. I must be defective. There's some kind of secret meeting I didn't attend. I don't know how it works. I don't know how you overcome temptation. I don't know how you walk with God, have a quiet time, pray for your friends the way that you say you're going to. Don't blow your temper. Treat people honestly. Be fair and generous. I don't know how you do all that stuff. So I must have missed out. I'm just going to check out. Or we put a front up and we just try to let everybody think we're doing great at our Christian life. While on the inside, we're failing to pull it all off for the one who pulled it all off for us. And here's the beauty of the gospel. If you don't get anything else today, the whole gospel is that the same Christ who died to win your forgiveness so that you could lie down every night in the covers of his grace is the same Christ who was raised up from the dead so that something powerful called the incarnation could happen, and that same Christ could come to live in you. And the same power that raised him up is the same power that's available to you and me as we trust him. Not one time, but every time. Not one moment back in our life, but every moment in our life. Not when I was 9, but when it's 9 a.m. Not the day when I put my faith in him, but every moment that I put my faith in him. I'm like headed out the door and I've got a big day and I'm like, it's 8:00, God. I need to trust you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. First meeting at the office, 9:30. And you didn't know what was coming, but here it comes. And you're like, Jesus, I need you. I need you right now. I need you right now in this meeting, Jesus. I need you to be life in me right now. I can't do this, but you can. 9:40, going down the hall at work. There she is, Bethany herself, in all of her glory. Jesus, I need you right now. I need you right now. I need you more than I've ever needed you right now. Thank you. Oh, man, amazing. Thank you. 10:10, the phone rings. You didn't even know that call was coming. Jesus, I need you right now. I need you like I've never needed you before right now. I'll never make it through the end of this day if it's not for your grace in my life. Thank you. 11 o'clock, temptations right in front of you. Jesus, I need you right now. I need your help, Jesus. I need to step in obedience to what you're telling me, Jesus. I'm gonna take a step, but I believe when I take the step, you're gonna come through with your power. Thank you, I made it, I made it. Little mini celebration. Not gonna really announce it to the office right now, but hello, I made it. 9:48 step worked. He was enough. Daily grace. Thank you, Jesus. You're good. Thank you, Jesus. You're good. And you take every step confident. See, grace isn't a transaction that happened. It's an incarnation that happened. Grace isn't a thing. It's a person. And he lives in every believer who's put their faith in him. Why? So that day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, Jesus can be enough. Not grace for tomorrow. You cannot get grace for tomorrow. You cannot. And you can't go back and get grace for yesterday. But there is grace for today. So I'm gonna start my day by turning down the covers of grace and getting in to God's forgiveness. I'm gonna start my day at night by endeavoring to reflect that grace to other people, uprooting the urge to get revenge on people. And I'm gonna start my morning confident that God is working all around me. And I'm gonna take every single step depending on Jesus to be in me. The same thing I depended on him to be to get me to heaven, I'm gonna depend on him to get me through this today. Give us today. And I'm telling you, God will say, you got it. You got today. You got daily bread. You got daily grace. You're going to make it today. Let's don't get too freaked out about tomorrow. And let's try to untether from all the regret about yesterday. And let's just let today be served on a platter by itself. It's an opportunity for you to walk with me and me to walk with you. Take it. Seize it. Give us today. I believe this prayer, this path, is going to knock anxiety to the curb. And we're going to see peace flooding in to our story.
If you are encouraged by today's talk and believe it would be uplifting to others, then be sure to rate us and hit subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. To experience other talks, videos, and live gatherings, visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com or download the Passion Movement app. And again, thanks for listening to the Passion City Church podcast.